Welcome to the first episode of the Yullaby Podcast. I'm Minna, next to me is Hager, and we hate each other right now.
I have no hate towards anyone. I'm in complete peace with the world.
Hager was giving me so much shit before starting this podcast because I'm the kind of girl that's like, let's just do it. Let's just do it. And Hager, you're very particular with the way you want to do this
right thing. And that's actually why I think we're such good partners, because you definitely are the type of person that gets an idea and just does it, which is great because I overthink things, but it's also to the point where it's like, you don't care about quality, you just want it out.
No,
there.
I care about quality.
No, you care about quality only when it comes to the products, because you care about physical quality of things.
Yeah, I care about how things look.
Right, but when, like, there's a spelling...
I'm not shallow, though.
But, like, with certain things, like, quality and sound matters.
I agree, but guys, okay.
Let's give people the backstory.
This is what happened, and I'm going to say it in the most, like, non-biased way. I really wanted to record the episode today. I have plans tomorrow.
But, see, it's also for selfish reasons. She has plans tomorrow, so she can't do it tomorrow.
Yeah, but also, who's editing and uploading the podcast? Me. So, I want to record the episode today. Something happened where I wasn't able to get the mics for this to sound amazing. Next episode, I swear, will sound so much better than it does right now. I promise. But we don't have the mics for it to sound 10 out of 10. We live with my mom and my brother, who, if you don't know my mom and my brother, they are both the loudest people in the world. So telling them to stay calm and stay put for an hour, which Hager so ridiculously did, is not going to work. It's not our family. You're dealing with the wrong family. Other people have respect. Your family doesn't.
No, all I said was, this is what really angered Minna. All I said was, it sounds really bad. It's picking up on all the background noise. Let's tell Mama and Alma to just stay tame for an hour. And then this really angered Minna. Like, this was just asking for something apparently too over the top for her that we ended up getting into a fight. But you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, because Mama and Alma are, like, really going wild outside right now.
We always say, like, don't tell them to do this because they're totally going to do the opposite.
The minute I told my mom, Mama, we're recording, so just please try to keep it
down. She decided to wash the dishes.
She decided to wash the dishes, vacuum. Like, she's going
call her
crazy.
Sister. But hopefully this is not too unbearable. And like I said, the sound will definitely be better soon. So today's episode is going to be about family.
Yeah.
We're so excited about this episode.
I really am. I think it's a good topic.
No, we are. I mean, family plays such a huge role in Arabs' lives. I mean, I'm sure in non-Arabs' lives as well. But I think Arabs have a bigger relationship with family than non-Arabs. I think we're way closer.
Right.
Or at least with my non-Arab friends that I know, I feel like I'm a lot closer to my family than they are. So my struggles are a little bit weird for them to even hear about. But I do think that we share the same kind of issues with other Arabs, for sure. But yeah, Arab families are very close. We're very tight-knit. And not just with our direct family. I think we're just close, like, with our cousins or most. I don't want to generalize, but most Arab families that I know, super close to their aunts, uncles, cousins. We're so invested in each other's lives. It's kind of crazy, but kind of nice as well. But yeah. Right.
Like, I always think at work, people are probably like, this girl is so weird. She talks about her sister nonstop. But, like, they don't realize that literally you play such a huge part of my life.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, my boyfriend Chris, he's not Arab. And he always thinks it's so weird that we're as close to each other. We're as close to each other as we actually are.
For sure. So let's give a little bit background on our family, since we're going to be talking about that a lot. So I'm Hager. This is Hager speaking, and I'm the oldest. And then right behind
me, 4 years younger, is me, and I'm the middle child. And then 4 years younger than me is my bro, and he's the youngest. Sorry if you can hear that. And he's the youngest. And so it's us three, and then my mom and my dad. My dad passed away, but really it's just we're all in each other's lives. We all deal with the same stuff. We all deal with it differently, though. We're part of the same family, but like Alma's relationship with us is so different. Me and your relationship is so different. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
We're all so
Mama's the same with everybody.
Mama's controlling with everyone. Mama's the most controlling with you. Let's be real.
She's definitely... Okay, so that's actually something that we want to talk about, because when we posted questions about family, the one question that was repeated often is, like, how do you deal with controlling parents or controlling family in general? It could be your uncles or your grandpa, whatever. So my mom definitely controls me the most.
There's a reason for that, though.
I think it's because...
You're the closest to her.
I think it's because I'm not the closest. I think you're equally close to her. But I think me and her have a relationship that was, like, fostered from a very young age. Like, me and her have hung out every single day for the past...
Since I was 14. Who started this trend of hanging out with Mama, though? I did. I used to go to coffee with her. Yeah, and then I was cool, so I couldn't hang out with my mom anymore.
Yeah, so ever since I was 14, I've, like, hung out with my mom every single day. She knows everything about my life. So I feel like she has this, she has, like, control over my decisions.
But what we were saying earlier was that Hager is the kind of person that won't let shit go. So when my mom tells me something that is ludicrous, I'm just kind of like, okay. And then I do, like, I'm like, yeah, okay. And I do my own thing at the end. Hager will, like, fight my mom about it. Like, she'll want to know why she thinks that way. And I always tell her, like, mom is just not going to accept what you're saying. So just tell her you're going to do what you're going to do and then do your own thing. But you just think that's crazy. You don't want to live that way, I don't think. You would rather fight with Mama until she gets your point.
Yeah.
That's just the way you are with everything, I guess.
No, I am that way with everything. Like, I always want to prove my point. But also, especially with Mama, because I'm just like, I want you to understand. Like, yeah. You can understand. You're just not opening your mind to it.
So, my dad wasn't controlling at all. Because we keep talking about Mama, and the reason for that is because my dad was so cool. I feel like he was not controlling at all with, like, certain things. I mean, I don't know. Like, well, when you decided you didn't want to do...
Yeah, the biggest example is I was, like, every other Arab in the world, destined...
You were set out for success, and you ruined it for yourself right. by not becoming a doctor.
Yeah, so I was destined for the medical track because I was smart in high school, so entering college, it was like, oh, like, you're going to be a doctor. So 3 years into it, I'm just like, I hate this. I hate science. I hate math. I've always hated it. I've always been stronger in English, history, humanities. So I'm not going to do this anymore. I call Mama and I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I do not like it.
I remember.
Like,
oh my God.
It was like the worst
remember.
Night of our lives.
So Mama. Hager used to go, she was dorming. And when she decided she didn't want to do med school anymore, she waited till she came over for that weekend. And I remember, like, it was 4 a.m. and, like, you were crying your eyes out. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I woke up once and I'm like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, because Mama was acting like my life was over. And my dad, who also
you to be a doctor.
Right? He was just like, you know what? Do whatever makes you happy. Like, I'm here for whatever makes you happy. So my dad was really not controlling at all.
Not at all.
And even when I picked journalism, I told him...
Which journalism is not... like, if you're Arab... You know that's not going to fly with your
parents. Well, if you're anybody, it's not great.
It's not like it's not a money field.
You don't go into journalism if you want to make money.
Right.
But
there she goes. The lady of the hour. I went in second. Been second. Not Mama. Oh, she's going to do her thing. Okay, so it's about 30 minutes after my mom has interrupted. We actually took a call in between that, but now we're back. You were saying, what were you saying?
I have no idea.
Oh, we were saying that you and Mama butt heads more because you're closer to her.
Right, so I found that the closer you are to Mama,
the more she feels entitled to
your entire life.
But do you know what I don't get, though, is really, like, when she is like, no, you're going to eat at this time, or, like, you're going to sleep at this time. That's what I don't get. That's because, what blows my mind. I'm like, because to me, that's not going to change my life. The time I eat isn't going to make me succeed or fail. So I don't get it. Like, I don't get why it needs to even be said.
Because I think if you tell it to your non-Arab friends, like, oh, my mom wants me to come home at this time, I think they think, like, oh, Arab Muslim parents are so
strict.
It's not.
I mean, some are.
Some of it is, but with Mama, at least, it's not about
that.
She just wants this to happen, so it has to happen, because she decided that it has to happen.
Wait, dating Chris. So, Chris is not Arab, So sometimes we'll be on the phone and my mom will just come in, like, she won't, like, she'll just come in, like, abruptly. And I remember he thought that was really weird because, like, his mom has the respect, but she'll, like, knock.
Well, most people.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Never mind. Edit it out. It's not an Arab thing.
I don't know.
But I come into your room without knocking. Well, I think we're very open.
No, but I think you and Mama are very...
Well, I come into the bathroom when Hager's pee to have a conversation.
Way too much information.
I have a full-on conversation while Hager's peeing. Like, hey, what's up? Oh, what's going on? What are you doing?
God.
Okay. You do the same with me. But yeah, I mean, we're so close. That's another shock that was, apparent to Chris was like, whoa, they're so unbelievably close.
Right.
Where it's like... You live with your sister, you work with your sister, you're talking to your sister all the time. Like, it's so weird for him.
I think that's one of the things, though, that, like, when I think... So, Minna's obviously in a relationship with someone who's non-Arab, and I'm not in a relationship at all. So, one of the things I always think about when I'm, like, thinking about who I'm going to be, like, dating or anything like that, I'm always like, oh, but an Arab will understand all these crazy little quirks, and they won't question it. Like, if you say, like, oh, my mom wants me to do this, or they won't be like, oh, that's weird. Like, your parents are weird. But I always think, like, with a non-Arab, I'm going to have to explain everything from the beginning.
A lot of people will get it. Like, I think Chris gets it, but I do have to explain it to him because it's not normal for him. It's not what he grew up doing. So I kind of have to be like, oh, but this is okay. Like, I'm not bothered by it. That's another thing. I always have to be like, I'm not bothered. I don't care. Like, I don't care if Hager does this, my mom does this, my brother does this.
You and our other friend who was also dating a non-Arab were pretty cool about that. Like, letting them know from the beginning how
just
it's
realizing
gonna be.
That it does need take a little bit of work to explain to your partner that, like, this is the way it happens. But you're right, dating an Arab, not that I would change my relationship in any way, but dating an Arab would have been so much easier for me when it comes to family. Like, just certain things like, hey, by the way, like, you won't be able to meet my mom until you feel like you want to propose. That sort of thing, where Americans are like, wait.
Like, I'm in and out of your house all the time, even without anything official happening.
For sure. And, like, you meet the parents, like, 2 weeks after you date. And, like, that sort of stuff, like... That's not okay with Arab families, and that's something that you just have to explain and be very open about.
I think, though, like, yeah, I think the trick is to be open about it from day one. I think I'm the type of person that would, like, hide it until I'm like, oh, crap, I'm actually serious.
Do you feel embarrassed?
Yeah,
sometimes I feel embarrassed to talk to my Arab friends about, like, certain things.
Your non-Arab friends.
My non-Arab friends, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to talk to my non-Arab friends about certain things that, like, happen in the family because I think they're going to think, like, I'm being babied, and that's not the case.
It's actually been, like, I've been pushing myself not to feel embarrassed. So my employer is from the Middle East. He's not Arab. He's Israeli, but he's from the Middle East. And his mom is, like, super controlling because she works with us. She's so controlling. And all the employees are like, why is his mom so controlling? Yeah. So I actually stepped up and said, like, oh, guys, like, we're from the Middle East. And, like, this is just how it is.
Right.
Versus before, I would kind of, like, hide it and be like, oh, that's so
so weird. His mom's so controlling. You were, like, egging the conversation.
I was like,
what a loser.
Exactly. But I think it's been something, like, I think doing that has, like, been a part of me stepping into my Arabness.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally fine. It is a little bit weird, but it is what it is, and, like, I accept it.
No, for sure. Also, another thing Hager and I have spoken about in the past, we live with our family, and a lot of traditional Arab homes, like, you don't move out until you get married. That's changing a lot because a lot of my Arab friends live alone. That's totally fine. We decided to do it the, like, traditional way, which we live with our parents until one of us gets married.
Was it really a decision?
It wasn't a decision. I'm just trying to
say. Or are we just really broke right now?
It's a mixture of being broke and it being... It's definitely not a decision. Maybe I shouldn't have worded it like that. But it's really weird telling your non-Arab friends that. Like, they think it's a little weird. And I used to be very embarrassed about it, but now I don't kind of don't care. Like, I live with my family, who cares, whatever.
A lot of Greek people are like that, too. Like, you just live at home.
Yeah.
A lot of, actually, Italians, too, like, traditional Italians. So it's not...
How do you explain it to them, though, without feeling like, I'm not oppressed? Like, I'm okay with this decision. Like, do you feel, like, the pressure to kind of explain it to non-Arabs in a certain way?
To explain, especially if you're Muslim, too. Like, Arabs in general, but especially if you're Muslim... To explain that you are not oppressed is ridiculous. Like, because everybody thinks you're oppressed. And I'm not saying that it's easy breezy. It's not at all. I think there are certain areas where it's like Arab or Muslim families or just Arab families in general. Because I really think it's more of a cultural thing.
are really, really in control. But the image that the world has of us is, like, so much worse than it actually is, I think. Totally for the most part. Obviously, we're not generalizing.
Yeah. No, but I think you're right. For the most part. Not generalizing.
Yeah, like, for the most part, we're not oppressed. Like, let's talk about that, because a lot of Arab families struggle with that. They treat the boy differently than the girls.
Okay, so my brother... Okay. I think in a lot of families, the situation is different. But with my family, the reason why my brother got a lot of his freedom was because he just did not give a crap. Me and you always cared. We always cared. Like, mama's going to be so upset. Like, I feel so guilty. I'm not going to go with my friends because my mama doesn't want... My brother didn't care, so he went out with his friends.
But did you ever watch that episode in Romy where the girl, he basically says that to his sister. He's you could ask for it too. And then she's like, you're so privileged that you even think that's a thing.
I mean, that's true.
So maybe it's just the guilt comes from being a woman in general. Alma doesn't have that guilt, so he gets what he wants. True. Maybe we just, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that's what it is, but maybe that's what it is. But for the most part, again, Alma was never treated differently than us. Like,
not drastically. Maybe some certain things he was treated differently, but not... I've never felt like you treat Ahmed differently because he's a boy. I felt like we were all treated the same, we just took it differently. We all expressed ourselves a little bit differently, and that was fine.
Like, I never felt like our parents were like, oh, the boy can do whatever he wants, and the girls...
No, it wasn't like that. And also, like we said, Hagar's the oldest, so Hagar didn't push back as much. I pushed back a little bit more. My brother came, he pushed back so much more. So it kind of trickled down to, like, age as well. So I think it's not so much gender with us. It's a lot of age. Like,
yeah, like, I feel like I could have pushed back more and then made I could it have easier been
allowed,
for you.
And then because I made a lot of things allowed for Almud.
Yeah.
If someone came after Almud, he would have been allowed to do anything. Right. He or she.
I did not really widen the gap for you guys.
No,
at all.
You made
I
it apologize. Miserable. Yeah.
No, because I was, for the most part, I was good. I did
You're
what
a good
my parents.
Girl.
Yeah, like,
so was I.
But also, I think, again, it's not... When I say this, I always feel like, oh, people are going to think I was, like, such... So oppressed. No, again, I just didn't want... Like, I didn't go to the parties because I wasn't invited.
It wasn't your jam. It's still not your jam now. It's still not my thing. It's not your thing.
So I've always been, like, a calmer person, more of a homebody. So I didn't challenge those standards at all. I think the way I did challenge it, and you see the difference, is that with school, like... I stood up and I was like, I don't want to do pre-med.
Even actually...
And then they didn't care about what you
whenever
did.
Whenever they didn't care what I did. I'm a model. I'm just kidding. But
they whenever, really lowered their standards.
They really lowered their standards. You're so mean.
I just got into a fight with Cece because she's a model.
It's a stupid thing to be.
Do you guys get where that's from?
New girl. But I mean... I was going to say something just now. But yeah, I mean, Hagar, you also challenge it when you speak to Mama about politics or you speak to her about, like, social issues. You always put your foot down with her.
Yeah.
And as much as sometimes she's not receiving it, I think she still holds on to certain things.
She does, because we'll overhear her talking to
her sisters.
And she's saying exactly what we said. So it did go through to her. I think also with our family, because we're so hard-headed, we just don't like
we
to
just
admit
speak louder.
Defeat.
If you're not getting my point, I'm going to speak louder. I'm not going to try to explain it to you more. I'm just going to speak louder.
Yeah, we don't like to admit defeat at all. So maybe in the moment she's not... And I think a lot of parents are like that. In the moment, they won't admit that they understand. But maybe they do. Maybe it just goes through. It just takes some time to get through.
But that actually is, like, a good segue into a question that we got, which is how to have a normal life and still be honest with your family who still lives in the Middle East. And why I say that is because I think the advice I'd give to this person is, as much as you don't think that your parents will get it, I still think it's important to say it, because I think you never know whether or not something is going to stick. So if you feel like you're afraid to be honest, I think the better thing is to be honest with the hopes of somehow your parents understanding it or kind of getting it just a little bit. And I know that can be really hard if your parents are really strict or you come from a different type of family, whatever it is, but I feel like I would still say express yourself in that sense.
Right. I would say, though, do it strategically.
Because we've had friends that, like, have done things that, again, are considered normal if you're American or if you're Western, but considered very abnormal if you're Arab. Yeah. And they just throw it in their parents' faces. And it's just like, dude, they're not going to understand. They've grown up with such completely different limits and standards that there's no way you're throwing at them this and they're going to understand it. So I would say, like, ease them into it. Into your life, like,
and I think you, like Hager said, I think you have to understand that your parents come from two different worlds. Like, you come from a world and your parent comes from a completely different world. Generation, things are so much more accessible to you than they were to them, like that sort of thing. So you always have to keep that in mind when you're updating your parents. For example, when I first mentioned to my parents that I was not dating someone who's Arab and we're Muslim, so I had to tell them that he wasn't Muslim, but the way I said it was like, he's interested in Islam, and he is now, and that's amazing, and I'm so grateful for that, but I had to kind of, it's like a warning, like, hey, I'm dating someone who's not Muslim, but he is interested, he's learning, he's amazing, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to kind of tell it to them the way they want to hear it. Does that make any sense? You have to egg them on a little bit, and then tell them the news.
You can't throw it in their face, again.
You can't just be like, hey, dating a white guy, he's not Muslim, bye. And if that's how you want to do it, that's fine, but I'm saying, in my house, that would have not worked.
What we're saying is, like, for this person who's asking, they obviously want to maintain a relationship with their family.
Sure.
So if you don't want to maintain a relationship with your family, or if you feel like your family's too toxic to do that, then obviously you would go about it in a different way.
Yeah, but this person wants to be honest with his family or her family, and right. They want to have a normal life still.
Right. So for me, that would mean that I don't. And then also, I think if we're being honest, there are some things we never tell our family.
Yeah, there are some things that, like, yeah, you just can't tell mama. Like,
because it would, one, break her heart, probably, two, ruin your relationship. And it kind of sucks sometimes. But
yeah.
I think you can do that with this. Like, you will know what you can say and what you can never say.
Yeah, you have to feel your parents out a little bit. You have to know what's okay with them, what's not okay with them. It's really a challenge being Arab. It's like a hit or miss with so much of your life.
I know.
Like, a lot of the things that mama's okay with now, I would have never expected her to be okay with when I was a kid.
And then there's the whole thing where, like, you know that mama doesn't care, but you know she cares because her friends are going to care.
Her friends give a crap. Like, a lot of the time, I'm like, you don't care. I'll give you one example. I mean, like, with modeling, for example. We're pretty, I mean, we wear whatever we want to a certain extent, but when I was signed, I think my mom's fear was, like, dress codes and stuff like that.
Like, models.
A little bit of her. It was a little bit of her, and then a little bit of, like, what other people were gonna say. And that's something that, like, would have triggered me so much back then, but now I kind of get it, but I still kind of don't. Like, it still bothers me when I really think of it, because I'm like, if I get a really cool job and mama's gonna give me shit about it, it's that whole thing. I mean, I haven't been getting jobs.
You're good. But yeah, so a lot of it is that. Again, a lot of people will be like, but you're okay with it. I don't get why we have to cater to other people, which this is one of the things that I think drives me crazy.
What other people think.
What other people think.
It matters so much.
To me, I'm just like, I don't care, but I don't want to embarrass my parents.
I know.
So
a lot of the time when I'm about to post something on Instagram, and my mom follows me on Instagram, but I don't know who else follows me on Instagram. So I'm always like, worried, if I post this, will people think I'm doing it behind my mom's back? And it's like that sort of thing that we kind of do it too. We get so mad at mama, but we do it too. We're so afraid of what other people will think.
I think if you're growing up in an Arab family, you're conditioned to think about what other people think all the time. And
because other people's opinions matter so much to Arabs.
So much.
We do, like, a lot of what we do is because of other people.
And then I think that's the thing too. Like, if you're Muslim, you're going to be told that it's because you're Muslim. And the truth is, it's because of the culture. It's not because you're...
We actually have a lot of Coptic friends who...
Are like, oh, like, this same happens thing. With us too.
So it's not even a religion kind of thing.
It's just being the culture.
Arab, it's such a cultural thing. And it's not... It's literally like... Arabs are so invested in everyone's lives that, like, people's opinions matter so much. And especially when you're raising a child, like, it takes a toll on you for sure, I think.
Yeah. And then, so I don't know if we answered your question, but I guess our takeaways would be, like, try to maneuver it in the best way you can. If you want to maintain a relationship with your family, you have to be able to strategically bring things up and, like, kind of piece it out. Like, don't say everything all at once.
And then also, I think my biggest advice, which I give to a lot of, like, my girlfriends who will come to me for advice, is realize that if they take it the wrong way, it's not because they hate you and they want to like oppress you. It's because they don't get it. They just simply don't understand.
Or a lot of times what I realize with our families is they're acting out of fear.
It's a lot.
A lot of fear.
So, especially if you're being raised in the Western world, they're so afraid.
Yeah. So they're afraid of what other people will say, or they're afraid of your well-being. Like, a lot of it is just because they're scared.
Definitely.
So take that, I guess, into consideration as well.
But yeah, so the next question I wanted to answer, because I feel like we do have like a lot of like younger listeners, and this is something that I struggled with when I was young, is, and I'm going to pull it up now. Hager, you want to say something while I pull it up?
We're pulling it
up. We are pulling it
up. Someone should have had this ready already.
I should have had a screenshot. Okay, so it's how to deal with your parents not letting you have a prom date. So I want to answer this directly, but I also want to answer it indirectly. So how to deal with your parents not letting you have a prom date. I didn't go to prom. And neither did Hager. Hager, why didn't you go to prom?
I don't remember, but I remember I never even asked to go to prom. Like, I didn't even make it a thing. I was just like, oh, I'm not going to prom, so I'm not going to ask. I don't know if I didn't ask because I was afraid I was going to be told no, or if I didn't go to prom because I didn't want to. I can't remember. I probably
did your friends go to prom?
No, but I'm also super awkward. Like, I feel like dancing.
You were, like, dancing? Yeah.
Like, that would not have been my thing in high school. So maybe I just didn't want to. But a part of it probably was like, oh, I don't want to go through the hassle of, like, convincing them to.
You Rory Gilmore, you. But also, I mean, I didn't go. I did ask and I did want to go, but my mom had said no. And I think when I got this question, I was like, why did Mama say no? Because, like, I think Mama's cool. I was like a pretty annoying kid in high school. Like, I cut a lot. I didn't take like school too seriously. I was caught like hanging out with guys a lot when I said I would like go here with my girlfriend. So I feel like her no was more because of my actions and less because of like
But they wanting. Also are probably basing off what they see on TV.
Yeah, like everyone's drunk. People lose like their
people
virginity.
And people lose their virginity during prom. So they're just like, oh my God, if she goes with a guy or...
She's going to never come back home. Like, I think that's probably where she got it from. But I mean, I wanted to pick this question because it just brings me back to when I was in middle school and high school and I used to hate being Arab. I think I appreciated being Arab more the more I grew up. But
wait,
like,
but
as
before
it...
that, sorry to cut you off, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But before that, I do want to actually give a real answer. And it's, I really think reasoning with your parents actually does go a long way.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Again, we're talking about our, like, what we know of our parents. So your parents might be different, but like, try reasoning with them and try mm-hmm. explaining why you want to go, or maybe have them meet the person, or like just to validate that you're safe, you're not going to be like raped or kidnapped, like,
right? And that's huge.
Just trying. Sometimes we're so afraid
because
to even
your parents
try.
Are irrational, so they're not thinking like, oh, she's just gonna go to prom and have a good time and dance with her buddies. They think the worst. Like, they think something's gonna happen. They think the worst, and that's fine. That's the way they think. But I was gonna say, if Hager's plan fails, just say you're going with your girlfriends and then meet the guy there. Like, meet your date there.
I mean, you're going to have to meet them halfway at one point, because I doubt they're going to be fully into it, her idea, or she's going to be fully into what they want. So you're going to have to meet each other halfway. But I think really trying to reason, I think I was always too scared to even ask, because I was like, oh, I know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even reason with them. But I think if you want to get what you want, also don't try to rebel. Because I think at that age, you're 17, I guess, if it's prom. So they kind of still do control your life.
Like legally.
So I would say the best way to do it is to just try to reason and try to get them at a time where you feel like they have the headspace to talk and understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
no, what I was saying was, like, I think the more you grow up, the more you enjoy being Arab, because I think the hardest time for me, or the time where I was dealing with like major identity issues, it was more when I was in middle school and high school. Do you feel the same?
For sure, yeah.
I feel like I just wanted to fit in so bad, and I didn't realize that like my family's rules just didn't match other people's rules. And like, that pissed me off so much, because I wanted to go out later and I couldn't, and I wanted to do sleepovers and I couldn't. And that's like, I just struggled with it so much. So, like, I totally get, like, hating this crap when you're in high school. Like, I get it, and I've been there.
For me, it was less that, but more, like, I didn't know if I was Arab or, like, I didn't identify with either. But I think now I'm at the point again, also same as you, where it's like, I've learned to look at the positives of being Arab, mm-hmm. and then hopefully work on changing the toxic behavior, because obviously there is.
Yeah.
And I think with our generation,
but that does, that starts with like talking to your parents very openly and trying to explain your opinion to them and where your point comes. And that's such a big thing, because you know what? You're going to be changing shit for so many people that come after you. Like, I think that's just how it happens. Right. Like, yeah. But yeah. I mean, I hope I answered your question. I hope he answered your question. Like I said, if they say no, just go with your girlfriends, meet the guy or girl, whatever, your date there and have a great time. That's what I would have done. Because I would be, honestly, I would have been too scared to be like, Mama, I'm going to prom, or Baba, I'm going to prom with my date. He would have been like, what? No, you're not. I would have been too scared.
I mean, but this person clearly wants to tell them, so, or has told them, and they've rejected it. So yeah. I just think reasoning with them might get you farther than you think.
And if you do go to prom, let me know how it was.
And send us photos.
Let us know how it went. I think that's about it. We obviously, this was a very general topic. We are going to get more specific as we go on. Like, I do want to do a whole episode on, Arab parents dating a non-Arab and how, what he thinks of Arab families, that whole thing. But I think we started off pretty good. Do you think we did a good job?
I'm content.
Before we go though, we decided that every episode we want to leave you guys with a shout out. And it's just someone we're digging, something we're liking, a podcast, a book, a person, a establishment, whatever it is. So my shout out this week goes to Mace, and her Instagram is Maceology. I am going to put it in the show notes. Check her out. She's so awesome. I've never met her in real life, but like, she supports everything we do. I support everything she does. She's just such a cool girl. And if you're in London and you want an Arab friend, she's someone to hit up, because I just think she's awesome.
Yeah, we love Mace. She's awesome. And my shout out is for something that we both work on, which is Fantasia Education. And Fantasia is basically a nonprofit that provides programs, educational programs for children, like youth really, who just to better their understanding of themselves and their creative selves. And it gives all these resources and tools for people to learn what we used to call soft skills, so like how to understand their emotions, how to eat more sustainably,
how just to communicate, right. How to build confidence and stuff that I honestly think that I should have learned in middle school or elementary school growing up that I didn't.
Right. And that was Aliza Sidnawi, the founder. Her mission was like, you know, these are things that we all should have learned in school and things that could have helped us go through life much easier. Sure. So we're like, we have programs right now running in Luxor in Egypt and in Italy. Mm-hmm. And we're expanding to Mexico, Spain, and the US.
Yeah, which is so
exciting. Morocco. So, yeah, so go check out our page. It's Fantasia Education on Instagram. And if you can support, that would be great. We love Fantasia, yeah, and we sure. think, like,
it's such a good mission, and you'd really be helping out so many kids that, like, this is their happiest moment of every day. Like, going to this program, it's something that they really look forward to. So, it would be awesome. If you can't support, that's fine. Follow them, maybe share with a friend. But yeah, that wraps this week's episode, and we'll see you on the next one.
All right, yalla, bye.
Bye. We're back for a quick sec because we forgot to shout out and credit Chris for creating our show music, and we know you liked it. So if you want to check out more of his stuff, you can go onto Instagram, type in Young Elephant, and that's Y-U-N-G Elephant. Elephant is way too big of a word for me to spell out, but check him out. His links and all of that will be in the show notes. Bye.